Church and State, Communion Fellowship, The Church Year, Baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series. Two Old Testament books bear his name, 1 and 2 Samuel. It's odd, though, because he is dead by, well, even before the first book is over. And as soon as he anoints David to be king, he kind of disappears until his death is recorded later in the book. Samuel is a prophet, he's a priest, he's a Nazirite, and he's also an Old Testament judge. Why does he wear so many hats? And when he is serving Israel for all those years, what is his message to the people of God? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be remembering Old Testament Judge Samuel in the first part of this conversation with Dr. Kevin Golden, pastor of Village Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He has a PhD in biblical studies with an emphasis on the Old Testament from Concordia Seminary. Dr. Golden, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
Two Old Testament books carry Samuel's name. What does that tell us about the importance of Samuel's life and ministry?
Well, certainly that would be the primary way to see that his name is used on these, for these books, is because of the role that he has. Because before even 1 Samuel comes to a close, Samuel himself is deceased and in the grave. So therefore, it's not as if he were the author of these two books that bear his name. But you might rightly see it just as the influence he had, because these two books really not only carry through with the life and the ministry of Samuel, but then also the establishment of the kingship with Saul and then David. And really, it's at the end of 2 Samuel that you have the death of David. So that, and it's both Saul and David who have were anointed as kings successively, and specifically through the hand of Samuel that they were thus anointed. And Samuel has a significant influence, therefore, over both of them in a variety of different ways, so that you could really see that these two books, 1 and 2 Samuel, really bear the imprint of Samuel because of his own ministry, but then also what the Lord did through him in anointing Saul and then David as king.
How does Samuel serve as a transition between the judges and the kings of Israel?
So it will be Samuel that the Lord allows or calls to establish the kingship, and that itself is quite an interesting story. But also he is the last of the great kings. And so you might even think of Samuel in many ways as very similar to the role that you have for John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was the last of the great prophets, and he's this transition figure to the rule and reign of God that's dawning upon God's people in Christ who appears. And so you have that huge transition that takes place with John. You have something very similar going on with Samuel, that he's a huge transition figure from the judges to the time of the kings. And very similar also, of course, is that God uses him to bring in the kingship itself. And John the Baptist is the one proclaiming, here comes the king, the greatest king, the fulfillment, the king eternal, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so both are these huge transition figures. But also with Samuel's case, he's also a significant transition figure for other reasons as well, in that you also not only see his life as mirroring or foreshadowing what we'll have with John the Baptist, but even more so, you see a lot of what's true about Samuel will end up being true also of Christ, but in far grander fashion, of course, that when Christ takes these types of things on, he breaks the mold and makes all things right.
So what is the religious situation in Israel when Samuel comes on the scene?
At this point in time, the centerpiece of the faithful worship of the Lord is found in the tabernacle. So the tabernacle was a tented structure that was put together according to God's own orders as given in the book of Exodus to Moses and such. And so it's there in this tabernacle that you have the Holy of Holies where the ark is found. And this is where also where sacrifices are to take place. But it is a tented structure because it was established during the days of the Exodus. So it needs to be a movable place of worship. It goes with the people of Israel throughout their wanderings in the desert. Then they bring it into the promised land. It's also moving about around a bit. But by this point in time, it's been this way for a while that Shiloh is the location where it is settled down. So Shiloh is really the centerpiece. By the end of this time of the books of Samuel, by the time of David himself, we'll have a shift where you no longer have it centered in Shiloh, but it's going to move down to Jerusalem that David will make as his capital. And eventually by the next generation after David, during Solomon, you won't have a tabernacle anymore because instead you'll have the temple as a permanent structure constructed there in Jerusalem. So everything's centered in Shiloh, and everything as far as what's established there is actually in accord with the word of the Lord. But we do have a problem is that Eli, who is the chief priest, has a pair of sons, and his sons are disreputable to say the least. They're doing all sorts of things that are contrary to the word of God. They do everything such as manipulate the sacrificial system. The way the sacrificial system was established by the Lord was that the priests, this is part of the way in which they received their own remuneration, is the sacrificial meat. They would get a portion of that, but these two sons of Eli are manipulating that, and so they get the part of the sacrifice that they really like that included that they would want to get their chunk before the fat had been burned off. And according to the sacrificial system, the fat was the choicest part, and that was offered to the Lord because the Lord gets what is best. Well, these men didn't care about that in the least. Furthermore, so not only are they manipulating the sacrificial system to their own benefit, but it also is said that they are laying with the women who served at the temple. So there is also sexual impropriety going on. And these things are an express contradiction to what God had established for the priesthood. It also brings them really in line with what goes on in all the pagan priesthoods that surround the people of Israel at that point in time. So they're living more like, and they're acting more like they were pagan priests than as if they were the priests of Yahweh. So there is major problems in that regard. And there's even a problem with Eli, in that it meant the way the text runs as it describes what his sons are doing, it says that the report of his sons' improper actions keep coming to him. So in other words, Eli is getting this report over and over again, and it's as if he's not actually acting upon it, that he's tolerating, he's refusing to put his foot down and discipline his own sons. And so Eli has some culpability in this as well. So there's any number of issues about improper worship and the abuse of God's tabernacle going on.
Tell us about the circumstances of Samuel's birth.
So his mother, Hannah, is one of two wives to a man by the name of Elkanah. And as often happens in Scripture, when you read about a man having more than one wife, it really does not work well. And we shouldn't be surprised because, of course, the Lord's order for marriage is given in Genesis 2, is that it's one man and one woman, not multiple wives. And so when you deviate from the established order, the order of creation, you're going to have problems. You have that in this situation because Hannah also has the challenge in that she's dealing with barrenness. She is not able to have a child, whereas the other wife, a lady by the name of Peninnah, does have children, and Peninnah really gives Hannah a bad time about this. You know, what kind of wife are you that you're not even able to give a child to our husband and such? And so Hannah, this troubles her greatly. They are a pious family. Elkanah and Hannah are pious folks, so they go to Shiloh every year to offer sacrifice and such. And so while they're there one year, she prays to the Lord saying, "If you will only give me a son, then I will give him back to you, O Lord." so that he may serve here in your tabernacle. And when she's praying this, she prays it silently. Her lips are moving, but you cannot hear her speak. And Eli notices this going on, and he assumes that she's drunk. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying to the Lord. And so then he speaks to her and says, well, may the Lord grant you what you're asking for. So lo and behold, she does become pregnant by her husband Elkanah. She gives birth to a son. In accord with her promise, she raises the child, but once he is weaned, which most likely and would be around 3 years of age, once he is weaned, she does hand him over to Eli to be brought up for service in the Lord's house.
We're talking about the Old Testament Judge Samuel, the first part of a conversation with Dr. Kevin Golden. He has a PhD in biblical studies with an emphasis on the Old Testament from Concordia Seminary. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a brief set of booklets called A Simple Explanation Series. They're sold in packs of 20 with biblical guidance on several Christian topics, including one titled A Simple Explanation of Lutheranism. A Simple Explanation Series is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Explanation Series, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. When we come back, is Samuel's name significant? Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation. The entire cost is approximately $350,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. TheCleaningAuthority.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're remembering Old Testament Judge Samuel. Dr. Kevin Golden is our guest. Dr. Golden, is Samuel's name significant?
Yeah, it is, and for a couple different reasons. You know, this is interesting with Hebrew is that a lot of times Hebrew it will be kind of doing multiple things with a name because it will sound like varying things. The most significant thing about Samuel's name is that a most literal kind of translation of it would be his name is God. So it's in many ways testifying to the fact that Samuel serves the true God and that he's not going to follow after all the false idols out there. But also it has significance because it is very similar in sounding to the to a Hebrew word that means to ask. And so, for example, when Hannah brings her son, hands him over to Eli and such, she says that she is going to lend him to the Lord. And this verb meaning to lend means to make him one asked of the Lord. And that is a foreshadowing of what's going to even happen at the call of Samuel, which once again will play on the sound, at least, of his name Samuel, because that name also sounds like the Hebrew word for hearing, to hear. And that's the ongoing thing when God calls Samuel, is that he hears the Lord and that the Lord hears him.
What does it mean that, as you had just described, Samuel is set apart for God's service, even as a little boy?
Now, according to the biblical law coming out of the book of Exodus, every firstborn son was to be set aside as holy to the Lord. And that is because God spared the firstborn sons of Israel when they came up out of slavery in Egypt, when he had the death of the firstborn sons, and God had them sacrifice the Passover lamb, put the blood on the door frame and such, and the angel passed over. So because their firstborn sons were spared, God said from this time forth, the firstborn son is to be set apart as holy to the Lord. But you've got something more going on than that here with Samuel, in that he's already handed off, as mentioned before, at 3 years of age for service in the tabernacle. So he's set apart for service in the house of the Lord. Now, not only is that significant because it's done at such a young age, so he is being groomed for faithful service in the tabernacle, but here you also begin to see that Samuel is a forerunner of Christ, that what you see going on with Samuel, you'll see in even grander fashion with Christ himself. For example, it's mentioned, of course, here is young Samuel in the tabernacle. Eventually, you're going to have his call also that takes place there in the tabernacle and in the surrounding area. This is very similar to what you see with Christ as a young man, as Luke tells us, about how he is in the temple himself, and he's expounding on the law and such, making many marvel at him. So there's that parallelism. But also, even the language that's used is that there is a juxtaposition that takes place between Samuel and the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli, who are being unfaithful, manipulating the sacrificial system, laying with the women who are serving there, contrary to God's word. And then there is Samuel, who, the text says, is growing in stature and in favor with Yahweh and with man. And almost the exact same language is used to describe Jesus as he grows, for example, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, that he is growing in favor with God and with man. He's growing in stature. So again, there's this parallelism going on, with Christ obviously being the one even greater than Samuel.
So Samuel is a judge. He's a prophet. He's a Levite, one might even say a priest, and he's also a Nazirite. What does this tell us about God's purpose for Samuel?
Yeah, so he is the last of the great judges. He's also the first, if you will, of the great prophets, although Moses obviously was a prophet before him. Anybody whom God has called to speak his word is a prophet, but Samuel certainly is that. He is a Levite from the tribe of Levi, and he's serving in the tabernacle accordingly. He follows along as being a Nazirite, because what Hannah even promises, no razor is going to touch his head. So similar to the story of Samson, there it was by God's own command, and here it's by the pledge of Hannah herself. I'm not going to let any razor touch his head. So you've got all these biblical offices, if you will, that are all flowing right into Samuel. And that tells us two significant things. Number one, it again underlines the significant role that Samuel has. He is a huge, pivotal figure whom God is using to bring about his plan of salvation. The second one is, again, this is another example of how Samuel is a forerunner of Christ, because Christ is the epitome of how everything gets funneled right down into him. Every office, every event, every calling that God has for his people all gets funneled right down into Christ, who fulfills them, does them perfectly, and is the fullness of everything that God has promised for us. Samuel does that on a far lesser scale, because after all, he's not God. Furthermore, he's not perfect. He is a sinner like the rest of us, and that is seen in various ways also. So he's less than Christ, but also, this is one of the beneficial things to see about Samuel, is he's the great forerunner of Christ. So all these offices being pulled together into Samuel so that he can serve God well, according to those, but also so that he might be a forerunner of Christ.
Dr. Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He has a PhD in biblical studies with an emphasis on the Old Testament from Concordia Seminary. We'll continue our teaching with Dr. Golden tomorrow on the Old Testament Judge Samuel, talking about his call to be a prophet. And we'll also talk with Professor John Pless about faith in the shadow of a pandemic. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
On Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.